Grace to you and peace this morning from God our Father, the Father of all mercies, the God of all comfort, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. Amen. I'd like to start with you this morning with the Old Testament reading for today, Ezekiel 36, beginning at verse 22. Listen to what the Lord says to Israel in these days. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it's not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I'm about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. For I will take you from the nations, and gather you from all the countries, and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I'll take out of your flesh the heart of stone, and give you a heart of flesh. Today we're going to talk about the heart, taking out the heart of stone and receiving from the Lord the heart of flesh. Now, why is that important? We've been doing a sermon series on all the different parts of the body, right? We've done the ears, hearing the words of God, then the mouth speaking righteous words, like white arrows, remember? Then we talked about the sexual parts of our bodies. Then last week we talked about the eyes, but ultimately it's the heart, that is the spiritual heart, that is at the center and core of all these things. If the heart is right, all the rest goes well, for everything proceeds from the heart. And if the heart is not right, nothing is well. So this is the final sermon in the series, the most important on account of the fact that the heart is the seat and core and essence of you, from which flows your eyes, the works of your hands, where your feet walk, whether they walk in the Lord or not, if your ears hear, and all the other things, is dependent upon our heart. So, if you want to walk in obedience to the Lord, love the Lord your God with all your heart, experience that goodness and joy that He has for us, then what we need is to have the heart of flesh. And we need to be careful in this cold world, lest our hearts should become hearts of stone again. For what does it say in Proverbs 4:23, one of my favorite verses, by the way, in the Bible? I love this. It says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Keep your heart with all vigilance, Christians, for from it flow the springs of life. So we're talking about the heart today. And what would God teach us about the heart? Number one, He teaches us that there is a heart that is like a stone, a stony heart, one like a rock. And of course, when I got up this morning, went out into my yard and brought you this. A heart of stone would look something like this. What's the matter with a heart of stone? What was God dealing with in Israel? What was God dealing with the rest of the world? And with us at one time, and with the world today. A heart of stone, what's the problem with it? In fact, there's a little snail that came out. Yeah, creatures leech onto a heart like this. Demons, right? But a heart of stone, the problem is that in the Bible, God refers to Himself in Jeremiah 18 and 19 as a potter. And He wants to mold and shape us into mercy, tenderness, obedience, love, faith, trust. Can you mold and shape a rock like this? Let me try it. Anybody want to come up and try to mold this with me? Here, let's try it. Can't get into it, right? And in fact, if I hit this, all I hear is a sharp clicking sound. This thing is hard. It's cold. It is resistant to the whims and will of a potter to try to shape it. This is the kind of heart that God says was in Israel. This is the kind of heart God says was in the world. This is the kind of heart God says is in the world. Have you seen hearts like this in your life? Well, you know, of course, my heart was once like this, as was all of ours before we came to Christ. But even today, when I share the gospel with people outside the church and on the boat or at Walmart or wherever I'm going, If I speak to them the word of Christ, sometimes I hit a heart of stone. The word is effective, and yet, just like a seed, it can't penetrate this heart of stone. And people with a heart like this, you'll speak to them of the name of Christ. But at the mention of the name of Christ, there's no light in the eyes. You ever see this? You share with them about Jesus and salvation, deadpan. There's no response whatsoever. No delight in the eyes. You share with them about their lives, to live a righteous life. The body does not respond at all. The words of their mouths are wicked, because as Jesus says in Matthew, I think it's 12, he says, how can you speak good when you're evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man out of his good treasure brings forth good. The evil out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. And so there is a heart that is like stone, resistant to the word of God, cold, icy, and wicked. And as it says in Psalm 14, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Where does he say it? In his heart. There is no God, he says. That's a fool, God says. That's not the kind of heart God wants. So God warned Israel in the days of Moses. In Deuteronomy 10, he says, behold, the Lord your God, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth with all that's in it. Yet the Lord set his heart in love upon your fathers and chose their descendants after them, you above all peoples, as at this day. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart, and be no longer stubborn. Remember? Circumcision, it was on the body, right, of males, on the male part to cut. But God says, what I really want is a circumcised heart. That's what I'm after. That's all God's had to deal with, is hearts. Because he wants our hands to do right, our lips to do right, our eyes to do right, our bodies to do right. But it all comes down to, is the heart right? And I ask you today, is your heart right? Are there parts of your heart that are icy and cold and refuse to listen to some will of God upon you? Or is your heart a heart all of flesh? Zechariah 7 says Israel certainly didn't have a heart of flesh. It says they refused to listen and turned a stubborn shoulder and stopped their ears that they might not hear. They made their hearts like adamant, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Adamant. You use that word very often. You can say that as an adverb, I guess. He is adamant. But adamant is the word for a stone that was formerly believed to be impenetrable. And this is the kind of heart that is a heart of stone. It's impenetrable by the word of God, even though God's word is all-powerful, yet, according to his will, he doesn't just smash through it. He works on it like a potter, and if it resists, it's a heart of stone. Why do people's hearts get this way? Why do you think? Answer, because on the throne of their heart, they will not have God there. They'll worship something else. Idols. Remember the idols that Israel followed? Idols made of stone. Gold, silver, bronze, stone. They bow down to an idol. And the warning that is spoken in Scripture, Psalm 115, is those who make them are like them. So are all who trust in them. If you bow down to some other idol, if you have something other than God ruling in a part of your life, you're bowing down to an idol of stone, and that's going to make your heart stone, okay? I love going up in New England times of this year, if I could. I enjoy the cold weather. I know a lot of people in Florida don't. But what you see up there is these lakes that in the summertime are shimmering, beautiful, receiving the full heat of the sun. In the wintertime, when the sun is hidden by the clouds and it turns cold, because these lakes do not receive the sunlight as once they did, they turn and freeze over. So also with people. If they are going to worship or follow something else other than the Son of God, then their hearts start to freeze over and it just gets harder and colder still. And what's the result of a stony heart? What's the end result of it? There's a warning. Death. Look at what happened. Sharon read so beautifully in Acts chapter 7. Stephen was giving his testimony to the Sanhedrin, and he says to them, to all the learneds of the day, "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you." Could you imagine saying that to them? Having that boldness? "Which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, Jesus, that is, whom you've now betrayed and murdered." Wow, that's a bold word. Did they hear it? Did that word go in? Did it create repentance in them? No, it says they ground their teeth against him. They cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and rushed together upon him. They cast him out of the city and stoned him. If you have a stony heart, ultimately, it's not far from murder. You'll take up a stone and kill somebody else. Even if you won't do it with your hands, you'll do it with your lips. You'll do it with your actions. You've seen that. Remember the black arrows that come out of our lips, out of an evil heart. So we want to avoid that. So what has God done to change you, to make you to have a heart of flesh? Well, he started out with Israel. He said in Jeremiah 18, "Jeremiah, go to the potter's house. See what he's doing there." Jeremiah goes down. He sees a potter working on the wheel. And it says that the clay spoiled in the potter's hand. And he reworked it into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to do. "Then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter has done? Behold, you are clay in my hand, O house of Israel." Verse 12, "But they say, that's in vain. We'll follow our own plans, and we'll act everyone according to the stubbornness of his evil heart." So what did God do? What has God done with the world? He saw this heart of stone. He tried to work with it as a potter. Work with it. Work with it through the days of Israel. You ever see Extreme Makeover at home? Or Home Edition? You ever seen that show? I remember in the early days of that show, they'd come in and revamp a house. They'd refurnish it, redo the walls, respackle, put on some nice pictures. I turned on that show recently. What do? They level it, right? They bring in a bulldozer, say, "In a week, we're going to just demolish your house and build a whole new one." Well, my friends, that's what God's had to do with us. Our hearts, being hearts of stone, couldn't be reworked. Our evil was just impenetrable for the word of God. And so God didn't come in and just try to redecorate the home and try to spruce it up with some goodness and righteousness here and there about. Rather, what he has to do with us is destroy the old heart and actually put a new one in us. That's why we get to this promise in Ezekiel 36. He says, "A new heart I'll give you, and a new spirit I'll put within you. I'll take out of your flesh the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." Isn't that a wonderful thing? Have you experienced this yourself? Do you think I have an illustration for this one too? Hang on. Okay. A heart of flesh would look more something like this. Is this how your heart would look? What is a heart of flesh like? It's pink, like the blood and flowing and life. Also, in the hands of a potter, how would this work? I can mold it and shape it any way I want, like this. It changes into that shape. Now I can rework it back into this shape. Can God do that with you in your life? When he speaks his word and says, this part needs to be changed, this part you need to walk in me better in this way, this part I'm going to work in you courage, I'm going to remove your fear, I'm going to create in you faith and trust. Can God work in your heart like this? And make you, are you malleable and pliable in his hands? This is the heart that God wants you to have in him. So where do you get it? Where do you get a heart of flesh? Let me read again here from Ezekiel 36, okay? This line right before that promise of the new heart, it says, verse 25, "I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses. A new heart I will give you," etc. Sprinkle clean water upon you. Where might we have seen something like that? Baptism, right? Which is also the water of the Holy Spirit. It's the preaching of the gospel, faith, and baptism. In baptism, God actually says, and Jesus says, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, He can't see the kingdom. Have you been baptized? Then you have received this new heart. And by faith in the gospel, this heart now is going to grow into something beautiful. God's going to put tender mercies in there. He's going to make it a lover of justice, a lover of truth. He's going to make it a good heart. And is it always nice when the potter is shaping you? Come on. How is it when God is working on your heart to make you over into a special image he's got in mind? Does it always feel good? Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes, oh, God, yeah. Oh, that's right. Yep, move me in this way. That's good. I like that. Thank you, Lord. Other times, he says, okay, now it's this part. He's pressing hard upon us. No, don't change me in that way. I don't need that one. No, Lord, no. And then, just when you think it gets hard enough, he takes out the scalpel and comes to your heart. And you go, no, not that one, Lord, please, no. And he begins to cut. Makes an incision here, cuts there, cuts down this way. James chapter 1 says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you meet various trials, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Can you be joyful when the Lord is doing surgery on your heart? Or are you just going to groan before him? Look at this. Oh, God, you've broken me. You've shattered me in all these different ways. Ah, no, but my son, I'm forming you into the image of my son, the Savior. That's what all this is about. When I press you hard, it's only to remove your dross. It's only to burn that away, which you don't need anyway. I'm creating in you a clean heart. I'm putting a new and right spirit within you. And that's why it says in Romans 8, we know that in everything God works for good with those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That's what God's doing with you. When you're going through good times and hard times, when the Lord disciplines you, count it all joy. He's making you into the image of Christ. That's the new heart he's creating inside of you. So, once you have this new heart, God is working on you. We also, as it says in Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all vigilance, though, for from it flow the springs of life. Jesus says, in the last days, because of wickedness is multiplied, most men's love will grow cold. Is there a freeze happening in certain parts of your life? Are certain parts of your life starting to get crusty and cold? You know, if you leave this kind of clay out long enough without it being molded, it will eventually harden. It can be softened again, but you want to be especially careful that it's soft and pliable. Therefore, we pray with David, saying, create in me a clean heart, O God. Put a new and right spirit within me. When you're out in the woods, camping in Cape Cod on an island in the winter, like I did, you go away from the fire at night, and your hands, which were flesh and movable, start to get stiff with the cold. The blood leaves the extremities, and it almost starts to become dead, your hand. So what do you do when that happens? You run back to the fire. And you put your hands near the fire and it warms and it comes back to life. Well, when your heart starts to get cold, what do you need to do? Run back to the fire of God. Run back to Jesus. Run back to the gospel of justification by grace through faith in Christ. Warm your hands by the coals of his ever-burning love, and new life will enter into your heart again. So when we look at the news, and I know a lot of you get perhaps scared or depressed. Oh, my goodness. Okay, California has having trouble. What part of California? Is it the baseball team? Is it the state? Is it the couple of businesses? No, sorry. California is going under. No. The state. Okay, the whole state is folding in terms of money. You know that? And you look, so, whoa! And you see all these bad things going on in the world. And the rattling of sabers among nations, and all this can be very unsettling to your hearts. In the last days, Jesus says, there will be men fainting with fear and foreboding what is coming on the world, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. But my point is this. If your heart is firm in the Lord, you don't have to be afraid of any of these things. The Lord's in perfect control of them all. What's it say in Psalm 27? Though a host encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. I use clay here, okay? But don't get the impression that this new heart is soft. It's soft in that the Lord can work it, but it is the most firm, strong, invincible, powerful, conquering thing in the world when His love fills you. You will not be shaken. If you walk in my statutes, God says, you shall chase your enemies. 5 of you shall chase 100. 100 of you shall chase 10,000. And as David said to Saul about Goliath, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Is that the heart that's in you? Come on. Is that the heart that's in you? A heart that's not afraid? That no matter what is happening out there and your eyes see in the world, your eyes of your hearts are on God and you are confident? Remember Shakespeare, Henry V? Probably not. But I'm an English major, all right? And I love this stuff. The English are surrounded by the French at 5-1. They are in the smaller numbers. And Salisbury comes to the king, my sovereign lord, bestow yourself with all speed. The French are bravely in that battle set and will with all expedience march upon us. And the king's response is, all things are ready if our minds be so. Let me speak proudly. Tell the constable, we are but warriors for the working day. Our gayness and our guilt are all besmirched with rainy marching and a painful field. But by the mass, our hearts are in the trim. Is that the way you feel? Having marched through the rainy, painful fields of this life, you say, but by the mass, my heart is in the trim. Is that where you are? It says, he is not afraid of evil tidings, Psalm 12. His heart is firm. Trusting in the Lord, his heart is steady. He'll not be afraid until he sees his desire on his adversaries. In Psalm 94, when the cares of my heart are many, thy consolations cheer my soul. Paul says, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer natures are wasting away, you may be getting older or illness, he says, though our outer natures are wasting away, our inner natures are being renewed every day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, because we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. The things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So, in the words of Don Quixote, what is illness to the body of thy knight herald? What matter wounds? For each time he falls, he shall rise again, and woe to the wicked. Sancho, my armor and my sword! Add more misadventures? Adventures, old friend. That's the heart God's putting in you. And why is that the case? Final point is because this new heart that is in you, that's being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, is Christ's own heart. That's what God's putting in you. That's what the promise of Ezekiel 36 is about. God is not putting in you just some heart, or some new heart, or a start over, or a do over. It is better than that. It's Jesus' own heart and spirit he's put to live within you in the waters of baptism and in your faith in the gospel. And therefore, of course, you have a heart of courage, power, truth, wisdom, justice, mercy, and love, which binds all things together in perfect harmony. And so I conclude with this. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Yes, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord's the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Though a host encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. Thanks be to our Lord Jesus Christ for the new heart. Live in it. Amen.